open the door to more with a National Trust membership. As well as free entry and parking at over 500 places we care for, you'll receive access to our online members area, full of exclusive member-only content, a yearly handbook packed with visit inspiration, and our award-winning member magazine 3 times a year. To find out more, visit nationaltrust.org.uk/become-a-member.
Hello and welcome to the National Trust podcast. I'm Claire Hickenbotham, and today we're visiting the South Shields coast in the northeast of England. Once known for its coal mining and shipbuilding industries, Sandhaven Beach has been described as one of Britain's best beaches. But it's not just the scenery that makes this place special. It's also the adventure and adrenaline-fueled experiences on offer that's turned one family's pipe dream of surfing together into a reality.
Melissa and my husband and my son were racing in. You know, Nick would drag Melissa out and ride the waves out. And then they'd all just take a turn riding the same wave back in. She was giggling, we were laughing. And I just can't tell you, I can't explain the feeling and how much it meant to us as a family to have an experience that we could all do at the same time.
Just 13 miles from Newcastle city centre, with the mouth of the River Tyne to the north and the National Trust Souter Lighthouse to the south, Sandhaven Beach is a beautiful stretch of coastline. Evidence of the area's coal mining past is still visible at times, and pieces of coal still wash up on Sandhaven Beach from the former West Hoe Colliery. But a clean-up of the coastline after the colliery shut in 1993 has resulted in the beach now having won awards.
We had the coal mine, and then there's a quarry at the end, which the pier was built out of, and that was actually the old landfill. The mine used to go out a mile under sea, so you get lots of coal popping up, and you can still collect it.
Nick Jones spends his life on the beach. He's from South Shields Surf.
Now you've got this just this fabulous mile of golden sands. You've got waves, you've got rock pools, you've got glorious like little nooks and crannies down through the cliffs, you know, exploring, and it's all accessible to everybody.
The beach and coastline are now at the heart of the local community.
We celebrate it ourselves. We have an annual beach festival, and we get as many local organisations who are involved in the beach and the coast down here, and we get them down and we just have, yeah, a good time.
But Nick believes it's the sea that brings the biggest benefit to people.
The sea is kind of special because it's immersive, and so you're fully in it, and it is restorative on multiple levels. You're physically refreshed, and that helps you be mentally refreshed. Just the North Sea is cold, you know, like that element of it too. But then it's like an enforced state of meditation and state of flow that you fall into when you're surfing, because you're concentrating on waves, you're concentrating on conditions, you're concentrating on seeking out that good feeling from catching a wave. When surfers get good waves or they've had a good session, they often say, I feel stoked.
When Nick first set up, he offered standard surf lessons. But after lots of requests from community groups and with the help of some funding, South Shields Surf School started offering surfing lessons to more people, including children with learning disabilities, wheelchair users, veterans groups, and adults who struggle with their mental health.
So I think everyone should be able to access the good feelings of being in the ocean. The only reason people can't access it if they've got a physical disability is that access hasn't been provided. It's really important that we take away those barriers that are imposed on people.
One family who knows only too well the challenges of getting onto the beach are the Holtons. Karen and Alan run a farm in Bolton, where they live with their 3 children. Their daughters, Danielle and Melissa, who are in their 20s, and teenager Thomas. Melissa is a wheelchair user following complications in the days and weeks after her birth. And it means holidays and family days at the beach can be challenging.
A day at the beach was just, it wasn't going to happen for us as a family. We couldn't get Melissa's wheelchair onto the sand because it sinks in the sand. So what tended to happen was my husband and son, or my daughter, my oldest daughter as well, would go off on the beach and have a bit of beach time and climb the rocks and go into the sea paddling, while me and Melissa would just have to go along the front. The fronts are geared up lovely these days. They are, they're nice and flat, and we come and stroll along, but we were always separated. We can't do a beach day as a family. It's awful, really, because I want to be on the beach just as much as Melissa wants to be on the beach, and my children and my husband want us all to be together, but the areas just aren't geared up.
Like all parents, Karen and her husband want to give their kids fun and memorable experiences. And a highlight each year is their family holiday, away from running the farm. But organising their holiday isn't as simple as hopping online or visiting a travel agent. It's a big undertaking.
When we're trying to book a holiday, it becomes a real issue from the get-go. For Melissa, we need to book months and months and months in advance, if not a year prior. There's no such thing as a spontaneous holiday when you've got a wheelchair user, because everything books up so quickly and facilities are so limited.
But when Karen was booking a recent annual holiday, a post on social media caught her eye.
We were lucky when we was going on holiday last year. We've got a Facebook group that does holidays and suggestions for people with disabilities. So we went on that Facebook group and told them where I was going up the Durham area and asked if anybody knew of anything that was there. And one of the suggestions was the surf school. So I contacted Nick, and he was fantastic from start to finish. He explained the whole process. He also suggested that we could get the rest of the family in as well, at the same time as Melissa doing the surfing.
So successful was this first trip that Melissa, Mum Karen and Dad Alan have made the journey from Bolton to South Shields again with one of their other children for another rare chance of surfing as a family.
Hi, Nick.
Hi, guys.
Lovely to see you again.
Yeah, right. Hi, Melissa. How are you?
You're good,
aren't
you?
Good you came back.
Exciting.
Yeah, you were there with Dunkey last time.
Oh, she doesn't mind being dogged. She loved it, didn't you?
Great. It was a little
That's
less
half the fun.
Oh, yeah, it was a little less exciting than last time, isn't it?
Yeah, the waves aren't quite as good this time, but I'm sure we'll still have a blast.
Yeah, we're still going to get in and have a bit of a giggle, eh, on the board. Right, brilliant. Let's go get your wetsuits on.
Perfect. Come on, off we go.
At the water's edge, Nick gets the family into position, supporting Melissa on the surfboard.
Helping in case Melissa does a little tippy flippy. If you want to do a tippy flippy, then we'll do a tippy flippy all day. Right, Melissa, let's get you out then.
For Melissa to even be in the water, let alone enjoying a surf lesson, was previously a pipe dream for the family, unimaginable in the days and weeks after she was born.
So Melissa was born in 2002. She was noted to have breathing difficulties on feeding within the first 24 hours. We then went obviously to neonatal. It was only when she was in neonatal that we realised that she actually had a heart condition, but we wasn't sure of the severity of it.
Melissa has been classed as having a left hemiplegia cerebral palsy. It was shortly after her birth that it was discovered she had a condition called aortic stenosis, a narrowing of the aortic valve in the heart. It was a critical condition, and Melissa was operated on when she was just a couple of weeks old. But there were difficulties in restarting her heart. A team was brought from Great Ormond Street Hospital, and they placed Melissa on ECMO, a form of life support.
She was then on ECMO for a further 6 days. Unfortunately, on the last day, they did a scan of her brain and realised that there'd been a bleed to the brain and that there was some brain damage. Now she literally only has the use of her right hand, so it affects every element of her life. She can't walk. We need a hoist to get her in and out of the bath. We need a turner to get her onto the toilet, so that makes like days out very difficult. We have to make sure that she's living a full life, so Melissa comes first. So, yeah, her quality of life is what really matters. And we make sure that every step of the way we can do that. Melissa's very into active things. She loves anything speed. She's like a dad on that one. Anything that's fast, roller coasters, a fast car, whatever. She loves going watching motor racing. She's a cracker character. She's brilliant to be around. She's an absolute love. She'll brighten anybody's day up. She does attract people because she's just such a lovely personality.
Finding Nick's surf school and getting Melissa surfing with the whole family that very first time was a dream come true for mum Karen.
When we got to Nick's surf school and everything started going into plan, it was like, this is amazing. So we got Melissa into one of the beach wheelchairs to transfer her down to the seafront. We got to the front, we all was changed into our wetsuits because Nick said he wanted us all in as a family, which has not happened since she was probably 2 years old. You know, there was no standbys. You know, I was in, Melissa was in, the whole family was in. It was perfect. She ended up being ditched completely into the water. She came up bobbing because obviously she had a life jacket and everything else on. She came up smiling her head off, laughing like there was no tomorrow because it was just, she'd done something that surfer dudes do. She'd wiped out. It was lovely, you know, and she thought that was fantastic. So Alan and Nick just got her back in the board. He asked if she was all right. She's like, yes, let's go again. Well, at the time, she was absolutely buzzing and she said she's had the best day ever. She said, Mum, it's my 21st soon. Can we go again?
Jason, keep paddling. Amazing, well done.
She was totally charming. Right, that we go.
Yeah. Oh, wow, you're paddling all the way in. Well done. Fantastic. Welcome back.
Nick's halfway through his surf lesson with Melissa and can see she's having fun and feeling confident and is enjoying finding the bigger waves. He believes everyone should be given the chance to take risks if they want to.
Dignity of risk is a really lovely phrase about risk-taking fair for everybody. We don't question often able-bodied people having a go at surfing, so why would we question if somebody with additional needs who can understand the risks involved and we can moderate those risks, why can't we get them in? We love wiping people out. Like, it's a big part of surfing. If you're getting in the sea and you're going surfing, wiping out is part of it. So long as we can wipe out safely, then there's no reason why we shouldn't wipe out safely.
There's another team of people on the beach today who, when training surfers, include techniques to help overcome nerves and fear in the water.
So yeah, we've got Team England Parasurfing here today. They train with our best parasurfing athletes in the country, and they came fourth last year in the World Champs. They do incredible things, and part of their training is getting people out into the surf and pushing their comfort zones, making them feel less nervous. So they'll be negotiating those sort of situations there, finding out where somebody is super comfortable, and then where can we start to, if they want to, and they want to push it further and maybe get bigger waves or more potentially hazardous conditions and more risky manoeuvres out in the surf, about looking at how can we make that risk-taking feel more comfortable and then building their skills up with that so that becomes part of their comfort zone.
Suzanne Edwards is a beach lover and is hanging out near where Melissa is having her surf lesson.
I learnt to surf when I was quite young. My family, we spent a lot of our summers in Cornwall, and then I went to university in Exeter, so I used to spend a lot of time at the coast surfing. So it became quite a big part of my life. And then when I was 22, I was in Morocco. I was working in a surf camp and had an accident where I was standing on a balcony. The railing gave way and I fell 30 feet and broke my back. So my whole world kind of changed in an instant. I became paralysed from the waist down, a full-time wheelchair user. Suddenly realised that the things that I loved most in life, which were surfing and travel, suddenly weren't really possible anymore.
But Suzanne did get back in the water and is now a para surfer and represents England. But there are still times when she is apprehensive. So how does she overcome her nervousness?
I think practice is a big thing of, you know, sort of gradually building up. Always got great instructors and coaches with me who I feel, you know, 1,000% safe with. Give surfing a go. You may not love it, it may not be for you, but you're not going to know unless you try it. The ocean is incredible. What it does for you, how it makes you feel. I think the power of it is so amazing.
Melissa's surfing lesson has come to an end, and she comes out of the sea tired but happy.
And we're going to do the same in reverse into the chair. I started this and it was a regular surf school, and my aim was to have a fabulous time by the sea. I had a Tupperware box for cash, and I had a written handwritten diary, and I was very happy. But then you start working with different community groups and you find out different needs, and you find that you can work with them, and then you slowly grow and build into something which you didn't know that you were meaning to.
Melissa and her family are now warm and dry and ready to head back home. Nick's been able to give sessions like this because he originally partnered with the National Trust Bluescapes Project, offering activities on, in and beside the water, including yoga, walking, cycling and paddle sports, including surfing. It was set up by Sarah Campbell, who alongside Nick initially offered surf lessons for children with autism and special needs. But it was feedback from those taking part that gave them the idea to open up sessions that would allow whole families to do activities together.
The response has been overwhelmingly positive. It's that time in the water, the social time as a family, and that feeling of real positive time in nature. When I see participants coming out of the water, I see absolute joy and pleasure, and also that reflected in the faces of the family around them as well. Something that you might take for granted on a daily basis, seeing this in action is really powerful.
How was that, Melissa?
Really fun.
Really fun, really good, fun. I'm pleased.
Amazing.
Yeah. Had the best time.
Yeah.
You can stop smiling anytime you like, you know.
Yeah, we've had an amazing time as a family in the water together. It's just been a wonderful opportunity. It's going to make memories that are going to last a lifetime.
When we get people like Melissa into the water and her family, tell you what's really exciting is just to normalise accessing the water. She's going for a surf with her family, having a nice time in the sea with her family. And that's what it's about. And that's a real privilege to then be part of that experience.
We'll be back.
When?
As soon as we can.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the National Trust Podcast. If you'd like to learn more about adaptive surfing, please check out the links in our episode show notes. To make sure you get new episodes of this podcast, follow or subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or YouTube. We'll be back soon, but for now, from me, Claire Hickenbotham, goodbye.
Our award-winning members magazine is now digital. It includes the same great content as the print magazine, plus interactive features like videos, soundscapes, and podcasts like this one. For a taste of what to expect, along with 5 delicious regional recipes from Trust Places, go to nationaltrust.org.uk/historic-recipes. Or see this episode's show notes to find out how to switch. Whatever your choice, you'll be helping look after nature, beauty, and history for everyone, forever.